Logan, if you ever want to talk, just get really close.
Hello.
Tell me ahead. That way.
Like this. If you want to talk, you can get really close too. Get away from
me. Guess what our front end of this is going to be? And in 3, 2.
Oh, shit. You're going to be okay, Richard? Do you need a minute to finish pissing your pants?
Giggles here.
Professionalism. Yeah, 3, 2.
Hi, this is Don Horan, author of Slugline, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
It's freezing. Why are we walking?
We jacked the car keys.
Oh, that's my car!
Huge IQ, great performance in the Marines, but you gave up. Drugs, petty crime, never had a job.
Who are you? Your father saved my life.
Dean says you're fair game.
Boys, I've had a rather emotional day, so whatever your beef with Eggsy is, and I'm sure it's well-founded, I'd appreciate it if you could just leave us in peace.
You should get out of the way, Granddad, or you'll get hurt.
Manners maketh man. Do you know what that means? Then let me teach you a lesson. Are we going to stand around here all day, or are we going to fight? Sorry about that. Needed to let off a little steam. What do you see? I see potential. Kingsman is an international intelligence agency operating at the highest level of discretion. If you're prepared to adapt, you can transform.
Into a spy.
Interested?
Oh, yes.
You are about to embark on the most dangerous job interview in the world.
We're here to test you to the limit. To enhance your skills.
Train for the evil out there.
If you get blood on the carpet, you have to take the carpet up.
Can't stand the sight of blood.
To everyone who said I never made it.
Felt sorry for the boy, did you?
No, weren't you mistaken?
He's as much Kingsman material as any of them. More so.
I got a dinner date with greatness.
Mankind is the virus, and I'm the cure.
Sounds like a lot of people are going to die.
Do I look like I give up?
You can't always piece the crown. Still not bowed and down. This heavy crown.
Son of a bitch!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Lenny,
Jonathan,
Luis,
and Logan.
Jesus, we go in a
Luis
circle.
Forgot
it's
who he was.
Well, that's because he looked at me for a second, and I'm just like,
he forgot who he was.
That's because I was gonna go, and then just he looks at me, and I'm like, wait, are you gonna go? Want me to go? Come on.
Anyway. In this episode, we are going to be looking at Kingsman: The Secret Service, directed by Matthew Vaughn. And Mr. Jonathan has the details for us.
Like Richard said, it's Kingsman: The Secret Service. The writers were Jane Goldman, Matthew Vaughn, and the stars were Colin Firth, Taron Egerton, and Samuel L. Jackson. The movie was about...
Who was Eggsy?
That was
Taron
Egerton. Okay.
Sorry, I know Taron as a girl name. I know it's unisex. My bad.
The storyline is Harry Hart is part of an elite secret spy organization called the Kingsmen, obviously. When he finds a regular street kid named Gary
Eggsy
Unwin down on his luck, he recruits him into the ultra intense training program.
Does
Meanwhile,
he record him or does he recruit him?
He recruits. Yeah. Okay. Recruits him.
He also recorded him
a little. He can record.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the criminal tech mastermind Valentine is planning a mass genocide to wipe out certain DNA codes. When the Kingsmen learn about the crime, Hart and Eggsy have to spring into action, tracking down a mastermind and his weapon and sift through a web of traitors to stop his plot.
Dun, dun, dun.
That summary had a very much few things wrong with it.
What, the summary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a summary. I think it was a reader.
Yeah, it was one of those where they didn't really team up and go after it. Yeah.
You read
the words on the page.
You're talking about the summary itself, like the targeted for DNA. And nope.
What is the fuck is that?
Chips and
yeah.
Well, he did do
there's
it.
There's a little small plot in there.
I realize that, but that's one of the key plot keywords. Seriously?
It could be.
That is fucked up.
You can compare it to... You can, though, compare it to targeting DNA because only the select few he chose.
Exactly. Yeah.
Doesn't change the fact that it has nothing to do with the
DNA.
Well,
he didn't say it outright, but I can see where somebody would draw that conclusion.
This is a seller.
Yeah, it is. The budget on this was $81 million, and the opening weekend was $42 million.
It lost.
And then the gross was $128 million.
There we go.
They made $2 basically per person.
Yep. And they have a sequel plan.
Yeah.
Oh, do they? Really?
It's the Golden Circle coming out 2017.
I'd definitely go and watch that. Yeah.
So it's just another spy movie, or is that, or
yes,
English.
Yep,
it's another kinda, British.
It's a comedic James Bond.
Yeah,
I kind of figured
ultraviolet.
From
the, you know, it was good. Like April's like talking about the comedy again. But I mean, like as far as
not
a Marv
many
film,
spy
like
movies that are
no, it was good. But like you know, we were talking about the difference between it and Kick-Ass, and like I feel like the action in Kick-Ass is much more realistic, and that's part of the reason. Because you were saying earlier that the comedy is better in this one, it probably is. But I feel like the action in Kick-Ass is much more realistic. Like the action in this is still realistic and good, but their abilities are a little. Over the top, and again, like they're all super spies, and I love the realism in that.
I haven't seen this movie, but you saying Kick-Ass is more realistic when they have that jetpack and minigun and all that
what
stuff.
Yeah, because they have all that in this, and way more. They have shoes that explode, and you can talk on like a phone.
Well,
like seriously,
so Kick-Ass
minigun. Don't think they had a minigun.
They may not have had a minigun, but they definitely had jetpacks. They definitely had jetpacks. There were jetpacks.
Missile launcher was on it.
Yeah, but not a minigun.
I feel like they just made it like where like any gag of like a spy movie. Okay, I have a watch that has going to have a laser kind of thing, or my shoe that has a phone, or like the old school kind of spies. You know,
it wasn't a spoof. It was more of an action comedy, and they were taking the James Bond aspect.
I feel like that's what I mean. Like, I feel like I don't feel like they were making fun of it.
No,
I feel like it was more like they loved that and they wanted to incorporate into it.
I thought it was a really fresh spin. And
yeah, it was.
And the fighting is different. You know, I would say it is definitely way more realistic. You know, you're gonna get your ass kicked.
Like
Kick-Ass did. You know,
yeah.
But because Eggsy is basically a prodigy, because even though he grew up. Kind of in the slums area, a bit poorer. He was
throws two fingers in there.
He,
that's a callback to one of our music reviews.
No,
it is.
I
mean, it's also the bird.
On. It's a bird over
it's
that.
It's the bird in
some
countries.
I got you.
I don't know if this is true, but my kids told me one day that this is the Chinese bad finger.
Like, probably a something bad.
Pinky promise. No, don't say that.
No. But
not in this country.
So even though Eggsy grew up unfortunate, growing up he was in gymnastics. He was. Olympic material, but
wasn't
he quit.
Also in the military for
the military.
In the Marines,
he was amazingly athletic, but he didn't, you know,
he didn't do anything with it.
He didn't take
quit,
direction
didn't
well.
He
didn't like being
dropping
a
out of it.
To take care of his
and
mother
so,
and his little
so he was almost
sister.
Too perfect. I can get that, but for me, I went in lighthearted and like whatever, you know, so I ran with it. But I do get if you want it to be, you know, more about the fighting and the gritty part of it. Where you would prefer Kick-Ass.
Like, okay, I can see Colin Firth. You know, when he goes in, like in the trailer, he goes in to talk
to the bar and stuff,
And, you know, he's been a trained spy for... But then, you know, and when they... Okay, the part that bothers me is the training program. Like, and it did. And I commented on it a lot during the movie. Because a lot of the things they do, and then their reasoning behind the results... to me was really far-fetched, and their abilities, even though they considered that incorrect and they did a bad job, the things they did incorrectly and a bad job apparently were like come on, really, this kid is just going to be like, oh, I'm a super genius, I'm going to just think that I have to go over here and shatter this glass in this particular
place.
That's
part
and
of
save
the
too all.
Perfect thing. That's, yeah.
And then it's like, it's just like, it's a little too
no, that was
over the top.
Recognizing the sign of two-way mirrors from all the police.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, you're saying he knew it because he'd been to the police
so much.
That was the reason.
He's like, wait a second, I'm getting terrible flashbacks.
I'm not talking about just that one scene, like the entire training
but
program.
Yeah, you're
I
right.
didn't, I didn't really, like, I kind of got, I got the idea it would be intense, it would be odd, it would be something, they wanted to do something that no one else had done.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely achieved that. And I did like the subplot, the behind the training program and joining the Kingsmen, there's this Samuel L. Jackson character, and I loved him. His lisp and his his fear of blood, and like literally like sees it and pukes. I mean, that's just
I really did. They basically took each character, like they made Eggsy, they made Colin.
Right.
I can't remember what was
Galahad.
His name? Galahad. They made.
He's cheating.
Yeah, Samuel.
But yeah.
I know, right?
Actually,
I'm not.
I said that without looking off the paper.
I really loved Merlin. The trainer at the training program, I thought he was a great
character. Well, see, what I think they did is they made all these characters, and then their personality traits, they just amped up times 1,000 and just told them, get ridiculous with
and
it.
Was Merlin the
yeah.
traitor one?
Yeah.
No. Merlin wasn't. It was...
No. Oh, Merlin was the helper one.
Yeah.
Merlin was the one...
Merlin the Scottish
the guy
one.
Who
he's
ultimately,
the only Scottish
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
The traitor was the hilarious. Older guy who was behind
Michael Caine.
It was Michael Caine.
That was Arthur.
Arthur was the actual Michael Caine.
Caine, sorry.
Yeah, he's super famous. What's your problem?
apparently,
and Lancelot, was he the one that was killed in the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were
that
trying
was
to replace
his father.
Okay, so that's why I forgot about him. But he was the one. They all get the name of the Knight of the Round Table.
We've got to clarify the. First, Lancelot at the very beginning
is
Eggsy's father. There.
Oh, I did not know.
But
that.
Okay,
follower or father?
Father.
I was just getting you. I was getting you back.
Yeah, right. But
his father.
But so they're doing this training to fill in a seat. It's at the table, fill in the Kingsman position. Mm. But it's not for his dad. I've got to clarify.
No, he
that.
Was a trainee at that point when he got killed.
Yeah. So Eggsy was
true.
A baby
My
when
bad.
His dad died. He wasn't like. Grew up with his dad. That's
Did I miss that? I thought that happened right beforehand.
No.
Right at the, it was right baby. At the very beginning where the soldier jumped on the grenade.
Oh, that's right.
That was Eggsy's father.
That was Eggsy's father, and that's
and
why he never knew his dad.
And then
since
you
it was
have,
secret, he thought he just ran out on them.
And then years later, you have the next
And then
Lancelot.
Another Lancelot
and
is
that's
killed.
Who they
and
replaced.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, because it's really key to how Eggsy grows up.
Yeah. And apparently, Eggsy's street skills can beat out Arthur's spy skills.
Yeah, even from the get-go, his driving skills. I mean, they just amped up all the characters.
Remember,
street
smarts are better, I guess.
Mark Hamill makes a cameo, a pretty big cameo in this.
Yeah, as one of the professors.
And they kill him, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to save him, and that's and when they kill him, that's part when they discover this subplot. This
right.
Something's happening.
It's not genetic. It's not DNA.
It's radio
targeting.
Based.
They want to get everybody that isn't. Protected.
Yeah.
That's what why Logan was so ripped
but
on.
They're
that.
Not but they're
no
not
DNA.
Saying
they were
it was the DNA that killed him. They were saying that it's the DNA that decided to Samuel who he wanted to keep.
Oh,
they look
yeah,
like
kind of,
politics.
Kind of not.
Because,
but it was really money.
Like
money.
Yeah,
money.
Exactly.
Money,
money
and politics,
politics
was a lot of
exactly.
That.
I agree with April on that one though, is because his the lady with the hook feet. She had the little thing on her neck too, and when
all of his
they
followers
all did.
Yeah. But when Eggsy made it explode, her head didn't explode with it. So that's where I agree with April on that part.
I think she was already
Pretty
dead.
Sure she, yeah.
No,
she was already dead
because he nicked her with a poison
right.
on the poison to tip on his shoe.
That's what
that's
right.
how he killed her.
Yeah.
That was after he made everybody's head explode, and that was her. Fight scene.
Oh, he's saying her head didn't explode with the others.
Maybe she wasn't.
But neither did.
Know. No, but I remember seeing the chip on her neck.
But neither did Samuel's, and he was also.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I agree with you on your theory about the DNA thing.
It's the elite two people they're not going to kill no matter what. They're the trusted ones. He doesn't have to put a suicide bomb in them.
But they did. is what he's saying.
No, I don't remember him having one, though. To be
I
honest.
Do, I because at the end, suicide? That's how he died. Hey. Oh, no, he just fell, huh?
Yeah.
He got speared and fell.
The suicide bomb was a feature added in to make sure nobody went against him afterwards.
Right.
So him and his second-in-command, the two most trusted people, don't need it.
But they were killed by Eggsy.
And they might have had it. I might have missed it, but I don't remember.
Either way, they weren't killed by the head explosions. Right. They were killed by Eggsy.
So it's saying Valentine is planning a mass genocide to wipe out certain DNA codes. It's not saying he's using the DNA codes to kill. He's saying he's taking an outside source to kill that, which is the phone rage thing.
Which is psychological. When he set off the bombs, then they start getting really, really mad.
But it is true that they don't say specifically through in the movie that it's because of DNA.
DNA codes mean poor people.
Basically. If you have rich DNA, you're pretty good.
My DNA is so wealthy.
We are out.
But I will say this. I don't particularly like Samuel L. Jackson as an actor.
Samuel L. Jackson. Okay.
Either one. Just terrible.
Just Hawkeye, right? Just
I like him.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite actors.
He's not one of my favorite actors, but he did really well in this movie.
I mean, I think he does pretty good in every single role. Not every single one he's played in, but...
I can't think of anything I didn't like him in. He's good in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, definitely. That's one of my favorites.
He was good in a whole bunch of movies Have you ever seen that one where he's...
He's got an upcoming movie.
A newer
That's
one?
That's not Marvel or...
Nick Fury in the Marvel universe.
But it's not a Nick Fury thing.
I'll have to go back and look.
Yes.
I'm pretty excited. April's phone is dead, so if you want to look it up, Jonathan.
One of the
scenes that I really enjoyed was the bar scene or pub scene, like you said.
In the beginning.
And then the Colin Firth character goes to a church in the U.S.
I wanted to talk about that. I loved it.
It's so violent. Well, this thing is. It's violent and it's gory, but it's not in a typical gory fashion. You see the blood, you see the guts. You know they don't.
I like how they slow mo all the actual deaths
so that you see it. You make sure you saw the detail. But there, what
the
song were
the
they
quick
playing?
Cutaway. It's such a happy slow stay and watch.
Well, and they played it to a really happy track.
I can't remember the song. Well, you've seen it four times.
And it was brightly lit, and it's just the happiest thing on earth. And I just love. The visual, like,
versus the audio.
Audio is so opposite.
Dichotomy.
But what he said right before he got up to leave, and then he got, you know, the
because it's a really, really
hellfire and brimstone preacher.
Baptist church, I'm pretty sure.
He gets up and says, I have to go back to my African-American gay lover.
Atheist. Some child who has it. You know, it's like the worst of the worst.
And they're just looking at him like.
And this lady gets up and is like, devil, and all this stuff. And the only reason that he went berserk and it was because they activated the switch. Yeah. That was their test site for if it worked.
Yeah, and at first I thought that he just went berserk because they were such,
like, he was just so done, like, Americans.
While I was watching, then obviously afterwards you realize that he, like, but at first I thought he was just like, screw these mother.
And you thought that all the rest of them, that attitude.
But then at the end of the scene, you see that he comes out of it and he realizes that he did it too, and that's when he realized, you know, that's a big part of the plot.
Yeah.
So they played that very well, because I really thought that he was just, like, mad. And, like, just going to go get them because they were, for one thing, they were super fundamentalist right-wing nuts. But other than that, they were just, you know, they were all coming down with the rage, too. Which, that has been done. That's not new. That's not original. With the cell phones, even. That's Stephen King's cell.
Stephen King did a novel.
I mean, and there's, like, a bunch. And Stephen King didn't even, that's not even where the tone. No. Making everyone crazy. That's such an old theme. I bet you we could find that in a 50s movie. I bet you, who's that guy that walks into his, Alfred Hitchcock. I bet you he's done one. I bet you he has. I bet you it was on the Twilight Zone or something.
I'm not sure. It's possible. I don't know that.
All I'm saying is it's a very done theme.
Oh, yeah.
True.
I liked everyone. The only character I didn't like was the female recruit. The female trainee.
What was wrong with her hair?
No, I actually liked her hair. I didn't care. She was just really uptight and by the book, you know. And it's like that prep girl that freaks out if she has an A minus, that very factual, analytical.
And okay, so the thing about the killing your dog thing.
That's just bullcrap.
I watched it with Richard, and you know, and he's like, "Oh no, you know, like," and they don't actually kill the dogs; it's a blank and everything.
Yeah,
but
you just try to shoot your dog.
But the problem with it for me is like they want him to take orders over loyalty, and that's where they're, you know, where is his loyalty to them, where he's going to follow their orders. But I mean, I thought that the, you know, to me, the whole point of being a Kingsman was to be able to operate outside of that, and you know,
to having
on
the
your own,
because they have no accountability in the world.
Well,
do they just
the
to
fact,
the Kingsman, like out in the world, they're totally
this
incognito.
Has no affiliation to any.
No,
government.
This is completely
they're natively British.
Well, and the fact that
that's just where they're located.
Kingsman is based off of in the movie. It's based off of the Round Table, Sir Arthur, all that, and it's based off of being gallant. Being a gentleman, being, you know, very classy.
And then...
And if you were a true gentleman, if you had the true, you know, morals and the honor and stuff, and you were in the position to either save a comrade or follow the order to get out, you would save the comrade.
Sure, maybe, yeah.
Maybe. You know, that's the gentlemanly
thing. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
that's
him not killing his dog, I think, was the correct... I don't even think it was just the morally correct. I think she's right. I think it's the code of...
it shows a true
chivalry.
Chivalry.
Well, but because the thing about it is not chivalrous, and that's what me and Richard were talking about. It's not chivalrous to kill a defenseless animal for any reason. And the fact that they didn't end up killing the animals, that's moot to me. That, you know, it's like beyond...
He's in Tarzan.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just saw him on TV.
But Mark Strong, okay, so he played Merlin, and he was the one administering all these tests.
He was cool. He was a hard ass, but he was cool.
And he ended up being, like, the true kind of hero of the institution, the one that ended up
he
not
being...
He was
the brains, the... Yeah,
yeah, well, I think... I've only seen him in a couple other things. He was in the first Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr., and I've seen him when... he was in Kick-Ass, of course, in the first Kick-Ass. And then there's one other thing I think I've seen.
Okay, you're referring to a lot of Kick-Ass. Is this because it's the same director?
Same director.
Okay.
It's the same director, like, same studio.
It's also Kick-Ass and Kingsman were comic books
written
by Mark Miller.
Yeah, I was going to ask you,
yeah, they were
Kingsman
written by
was,
the same person.
If it was a comic book or what was it based off?
Yeah, it's Merv, which I think is the guy he just mentioned.
Mark Miller is the writer. Matthew Vaughn is also one of the co-writers of Kingsman. I'm not sure about Kick-Ass.
But Matthew Vaughn
writer,
did direct Kick-Ass.
He did direct Kick-Ass.
Okay, okay.
And he's also the director of this. So it's because that's the reason that we're getting so much Kick-Ass reference, because so much of it is the same.
Like saying it too. Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass.
You can say without getting in trouble.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, I think that Mark Strong is a really strong character in this, and I really like to see what he would do in the sequel of this, because of course he can't be in any more of the sequels of Kick-Ass blew him up, so
yeah, bring Nicolas Cage.
But I think I've seen him in something else like that as another villain, which this was the first movie I seen that, in Kick-Ass he was the
okay.
boss no one got blown up in this except for a couple of the recruits, I think,
except for all of the rich people in the bunker except for the whole freaking
And that was
well. Their heads got blown off. They didn't really get blown up. I mean,
that's true. If you want to get technical,
and it was a unique way of doing that scene too, because instead of the heads flying off and blood spattering all over the place,
it was confetti.
And
they were playing. What were they playing?
Smoke tube. Yeah, they were something. I don't know.
Pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was. But.
Yeah, and then they made it very artistic and like, like that's what I loved about this is because. A lot of, and don't get me wrong, I really love spy movies and the action adventure and like, is it like James Bond and all that. I really do enjoy it. But the reason why I really enjoyed Kingsman was that it took all that awesome, you know, spy stuff and everything, but it just like, I don't know, didn't care. And it made it really fun and just really lighthearted. And nothing like that's ever been done to me, but with this genre specifically.
And
the
kind of sort of broke the fourth wall when Colin Firth and Jackson's characters were at the meeting and they had McDonald's for lunch, because they were talking about what type of movies they liked, and they were talking about, you know, they liked the old spy movies that were a little bit not so serious. The sidekicks were a little flamboyant. I don't know what all it was said.
Like,
but
the,
was,
original, like the original British Avengers.
Yeah, the Avengers and the
old James Bond.
How now, brown cow.
You know, he had Goldfinger. Yeah, he had jaws with teeth. And this one had the lady with the
What was the guy with the hat? Yeah. Odd Job?
Yeah, I think it was Odd Job.
Yeah.
This one, the lady with the swords for feet, invited them. And they made a conscious decision to mention that within the movie in the context of
reference.
We're just having fun here.
I just think it was a really fun, fresh way to do it. And it caters really, really well to the younger generation.
And I like that they didn't in any way try to emulate Britain's actual Secret Service and like MI6.
Yeah, they just went with whatever.
They just made up their own thing. And I really like
it. It was almost like in a Men in Black fashion completely.
Well, their jet felt really X-Men-ish. Because the jet was underground, it came up in the surface.
Some ways that were, you know, a little bit, you know, borrowed, I guess.
But. A little bit like Harry Potter, too, because it's out in the country, way out far.
In a big castle.
Well, that would be my
That part's really
X-Men,
awesome, though.
Then.
I would love to go to a big castle for any reason. Any reason except for training to join Kingsman. I'm a little too old for that shit. Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed it. It was
good.
It's one of my top movies.
I've only seen it once, but it was good, and I feel like I would see it again, and I definitely want to see the sequel.
I think I've seen it 3 times now with the watchings.
Seen it 4, yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those that I enjoy.
You don't get tired of it.
No,
if you watch it over, you don't, because
I like those kind of movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I hope that Merv brings the studio, this team, whatever, this director, these writers, all these people, I hope they bring out a lot more movies, because so far, they've only impressed me. I mean, like I said, I had a little bit of problems with some of the way they did things in this particular movie, but I think it was just that was the way the story worked, and I mean it wasn't enough problem that I got up and quit on it.
Right.
And I was just like, to me, that, you know, the training people, like I feel like they did it more for their own how they felt, and they didn't really go into the actual
You wanted it more realistic.
I wanted more realistic.
Yeah. Some of it might be because their leader was willing to go and become one of the one guy's followers.
Yeah, he was a bad guy. So that
might have somewhat twisted the train.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
We've
already told you how it ended. We've done everything but the anal sex. So
ending. Now we've done that part.
To me, the ending
was... Well, it's in the stupid freaking notes.
Jonathan, what are you highlighting?
What? Oh, you want to see it? There you go.
No, I'm all right.
That was highlighted in the notes. Now.
No, I mean, like, as one of the tag words.
But yeah,
anal
I
sex.
Do.
I'm like, really? That's terrible.
That was kind of funny too. Yes. You have to
no,
see
it doesn't.
You have to see the movie to see what we're talking about.
Yeah, because they want you to mention it. That's why they have it on there.
Mentioned it is. There
you go. Way to go, Lenny.
It is very mentioned. Hey, I mean, it was just a funny thing that they did, and I thought that was very clever and also risque, where they're definitely pushing the envelope between R and NC-17, and I feel like they're lucky they got their rating. There are probably some censors being like, nope, way in hell. They're like, no, come on, it's only one
scene.
I'm
pretty sure they had a
they don't
like
really
a
show it.
And it wasn't even
a main part of the story.
Yeah, it was at the very end.
It was like
of the
5
movie.
Seconds
like, some people might have gotten up and left the theater before then. So.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was pretty good. It was,
And it does have a coda, so you have to watch through the credits a little bit to get to the coda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So be warned on that.
Is that what they're called when they do that? When Marvel does that shit all the time?
They're called codas now. Yeah. That's what they decided to call
them. Because they leave it off.
Yep.
That's the music term.
Or
coda, where the music term coda means you hold out the note or whatever you have for as long as the director wants. So like if the the note value is 1 beat, just one. If you put a coda on that, you could be holding that for 500 beats. Sure. And if your director just does not care.
What
if
he has a stroke and dies right there?
Well, no, because that would mean that they don't finish it.
Well, no, I'm saying it kind of makes sense because they're pausing again and drawing out the movie for however long the director wants to. Then they close it again and follow out. So I can see where it got going.
And you know, the whole thing about following the musical term. I take it with
the grammatical.
The whole thing about the musical term that makes sense to me is like they're doing this because people do not watch the credits.
Right.
And now
they're trying to get
Good method. Like, you've worked on a studio set. It may have been a much shorter list of credits, but like if your name was written on a credits at the end of that movie, you'd want people to see
that
it.
That person so I want to play on film scores, you know, and they have to put those people in the credits too. So I've always been like, "Oh my god, in my first movie, I would be like, wait.
Get your phone ready. Get your phone ready.
There I am.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Rainbow.
Pause it, rewind, rewind.
I think it's really clever to put cool little parts in the end, and that keeps people in the theater.
Yeah.
Mainly for the theater audience to watch, because obviously once you have it on DVD, fast forward, who cares? Okay, here's the coda. You know, so it's kind of cheatable. But for the theater audience, they can't. So, I've seen several Marvel movies that I've stayed purposely and watched, and so you're sitting there, so you just watch the credits.
Ever since they started doing that,
a lot of people have been just like, okay, what's going to be happen next, or what are they going to show?
And then if they don't do one, you're like all pissed, but you still watch the credits, so, you know.
And the main thing you do while you're doing that, either do the alphabet thing, which probably go by way too quick, or look for the funnier names or more linked names.
we'll pick out weird names. Yeah.
Find CloudStrike.
I listen to the music.
CloudStrike.
I think I get on Facebook and complain. That's what I usually do.
Are these credits over yet? Oh, wait. Codicine. Hang on.
wait a sec.
But Kingsman is one of those, if you don't already have it in your library collection, this would be one to add to the collection.
For sure.
It'll be one of those that most people will recognize it and will ask for it if you don't have it, more than likely.
What was its rating?
R. Rated
no,
R.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, it doesn't say.
What did it? Stars.
This is not Rotten Tomatoes.
I usually just go to IMDb.
Yeah. And so this is one. Smaller libraries, if you don't have it. I know budgets are getting tighter. It is an older movie. And I'm sure you can interlibrary loan it from a larger library. They'd have it for you to send to you. But this would be one if you do have the money to include it. It's a fun movie. Most of your people that like spy thrillers will probably get a kick out
of it. Comic action, action adventure,
8 out of 10.
Anal sex.
Just
sorry, I had to throw it in there one more time.
You can't go in expecting realism and life. real life and situation. I mean, it's just a have fun movie.
Yeah.
Lighthearted.
Yeah, so I got like a 7.8 out of 10. So,
I mean, tomatoes.
Good.
There you go. They made money. They didn't, for their budget, they didn't make a lot of money, but they made money enough to.
Made enough to get that second one.
Enough to try again. So, that's the important part.
True.
Thing is, though, sometimes the second one doesn't hold up as good.
This one will be hard.
That's always a hard follow up.
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes, I guess I have the one word, but they get cocky and they're like, okay, we did really good. Let's put this joke in again or whatever. Exactly. And then it just ends up failing really bad.
Yeah, hopefully they come up with a lot of new material since it is a funny, a comedy-oriented thing.
Well, you said it's a comic. How many books? How many issues has it come out with?
I don't know. Is it still running?
It was a mini-series, so it was just like maybe 6 issues.
Probably this movie has got more content than the comic, so they'll have to come up with full new content for it.
Start original kind of thing.
And I'm not sure if the second movie is actually based on a graphic novel for sure. It might just be
take some reference from here to the other one.
Because I've only know of the one collected edition of the miniseries. And Kick-Ass, I think, had 2 series, but I don't know if the second movie followed the second book or not.
I think it might have 3 from what I've read here.
So 3 now? It's possible.
I know they're going to come out with a Kick-Ass 3. The way they ended that, they had to be planning it. Whether
Drawn it out a long time, though.
I don't remember much of Kick-Ass 2.
2, I didn't like it as much as 1, like I was saying.
I just can't remember it. I remember the first one vividly.
Yeah. Well, the second one, there were some things about it that, because it was a continuation of the storyline, I was really into that.
No.
It didn't do much original because everything it had done, Kick-Ass had already done in the first one. And there were a few things that they didn't do, but they did have, like, you know, more like name value and new characters and stuff to exploit. So it
the
was,
only thing
it
I
was
remember
all right.
Is Jim Carrey?
Yeah, Jim Carrey was the big one.
Yeah.
And then they had, like, just, I mean, like, not necessarily star power, but just like more superheroes, more. Yeah,
made there, more of a there, team.
Well, and then, so there were more storylines, like the night bitch chick is kind of his girlfriend for a while, but then it has all this tension with the younger girl that's taking off, you know, at 15. But, you know, you think, and I mean, I don't know, maybe they're never going to do it, but I thought at the end of it that they were for sure going to do a Kick-Ass 3.
Unless they do a spinoff with Hit Girl.
And that, yeah, that's what I was hoping they were going
to
do.
I would actually would like to watch that.
But, like,
don't know.
Yeah.
She's of the age where she
what was it? The second one was made
2013? I want to say maybe earlier.
The first one was 2012, I thought.
Oh, was it 12? I'm not sure. Because
the second one came out right on its heels.
But she could still do it. She'd just be, like, just graduating high school or entering college or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, the first one... Well, hold on.
Well, she's so little, she could play a, you know, 14-year-old again.
She was entering high school in Kick-Ass 2,
yeah, she was a freshman.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
The first one came out in 2010.
God, it's that old.
Jesus. So when did the second one come out?
I think it was 12 or 13.
Our time is so screwed up.
See how you feel? You feel like I do now.
Time is mutable by everything.
I got towels.
2013.
Yeah, it's 2013.
Yep.
Okay. So that's 3 years between.
So yeah, technically, it should have come out this year.
And they've been making other movies. So yeah, hopefully.
We'll see.
Hopefully
so, yeah, they wanted to come out with three. It should have come out at least this year or at the end of this year, but it's summer. So well, I feel like they would have done a summer hit.
I think
if they were going to come out with it this year, they would have already announced at least.
Yeah. And they're working
especially
on Kingsman
since Kingsman's
right now.
Is next year. Yeah.
And that's the same director that did Kick-Ass.
And,
so Kingsman's
yeah, that's the thing. It's a new studio. This is all the projects they've done so far. Okay. So, you know, they may only the budget
good.
To do one at a time.
Yeah. And you said what was the second one, the subtitle, Kingsman?
The Golden Circle.
The Golden Circle. Yeah. So look for that next summer, you said? Or next?
Next year. I don't know.
Next year sometime?
The month, 2017.
Do we have any? Oh, go ahead.
And it's still entirely possible that there'll be a third one.
Yeah.
Remember the very awkward long space between Finding Nemo and the Finding Dory?
Yeah.
Right?
That I'm pretty really sure, long space.
I'm pretty sure that it started out as a joke that she was going to wander off one day and they wouldn't be able to find her by the people who watched
well,
it.
Well, see, I don't think they were. They planned on Finding Dory, but fans put up such a fuss about
well, exactly,
it that
no,
they were like, wait, we could make bank on this.
I thought that was sarcasm as in she's going to wander off one day.
No, it's because in Finding Nemo, she has amnesia.
Yeah, that's
and
what I'm
this
about.
Is what it's. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched it. That's what it's going back
well,
to. Is how, how that happened.
Speaking of Kick-Ass 3, I guess last year they had an article. It was the beginning of the year, but supposedly they're going to do a prequel for a Hit Girl. So
prequel.
Well, and then
so then might have to get another.
That means
actor
they have to get Nick Cage.
Probably, yeah.
I just want to watch Nick Cage for some reason.
He was great in the first Kick-Ass. That was one of the most unfortunate parts where he died.
His mustache, though, man.
It was terrible. But that was
it.
Fake.
That
he
was
put that on. Like,
part.
He just had a normal mustache, and then he put that on.
He was just at the little goatee to it, yeah.
But this is one with Kingsman, the Secret Service. That's what we're actually reviewing, even though we took a large dive into Kick-Ass.
We were just both, looking on our phones.
They're both good movies. Definitely include them into your collection. Personal collections, if you don't have them, more than likely, if you pick them up in the cheap bin by now, because they're old enough, you can pick them up there more than likely. Before we leave out, I have a tweet from Anna Rose. We spotlighted her single Bury Me Deep, and she shouts out Comic Pop Library, thank you so much for sharing Bury Me Deep. Stay tuned for my EP, comes out on June 17th in 1 week. And of course, this is after June 17th, of course. And we actually did receive that EP to listen to and review. And if it hasn't come out before this one actually airs, it'll be after this one, so because we have actually recorded that review already.
Very
so
cool.
We enjoyed her music. So Anna, thank you for that shout out, and we appreciate you sending us the EP our way as well. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. We have a Facebook account and Twitter account. Look under Comic Pop Library. You can get in touch with us there. Send us some email or a tweet, and we'll mention it on the recording. We'd be glad to do that for everybody. Unless there's anything else, I think we'll wrap it up for the night.
Actually, I did have another announcement to make. It's not a really very big deal, but I have something for you, Jonathan. I just got my order for my book in the mail, and because you've been such a good friend to me and always looked out for me, And because you want to review it on Jonathan's Room, little plug for Jonathan's Room there, hey, I wanted to go ahead and give you a free copy so you would have it for your own personal
collection. I thought we were doing that at the beginning of this, but then you never started.
I never got a chance. Yeah, I never got a chance.
I interrupted twice a bit, and I was like, okay, well, you were
supposed
he'll
to be
interrupting
it. Someone. That's easily done.
Well, I decided to wait for the announcement. So
it's worse. Right.
And this is where we're at the end of the show. Some of the other things, and Lenny's already mentioned some of the things he's been doing. Lenny, you want to mention, go ahead and go in more, a little bit more detail on what you've done here with your
My Zombie Waltz is now out. The part one is out in paperback and on Amazon, so if you want to check that out, it's called Zombie Waltz by Lenny Main, and it's just the volume one. It's the first part of the book series, and it's out on Amazon, and for Amazon Prime customers, it is on Kindle Unlimited for free, so you can read it for free right now on Kindle Unlimited, and I hope everybody out there that gets a chance checks that out, and that's what I got.
And we'll have
Jonathan's got it now too.
Hey, since you gave it to him, shouldn't you like sign it?
Yeah, right? I actually brought my pen, so I could.
Jonathan's been doing something extra too on his own time. Jonathan, you want to mention that as well?
I started my own little review video show. It's called Jonathan's Room.
He's stepping out on us, folks.
He's doing a solo project. He thinks he's the star. Stepping out and doing a solo project.
I am on Facebook on my own personal page, Jonathan's Room. I am also on YouTube, Jonathan's Room. So check out some of my reviews.
Did you do this?
And we'll have links to both Lenny's and Jonathan's projects on the show notes from this point on and all of our podcast reviews. So if you're interested, you can click on the show note links and go to their pages and order the book or listen to Jonathan's reviews.
We'll be at Kearney County Fair on the 18th through the 21st. Come check out our booth.
If we get it up there and it's faster.
I don't want your high five. Give me the bookmark.
I'm keeping the bookmark.
But anyway, we are having fun here. Hope everybody's had fun out there.
Sign it.
I am.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. See ya. I usually Bye. Do sign my art. No matter what, I always sign it. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me. I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.